There is a call to sacrifice and surrender today. I'm gonna ask the worship team to stay up with me because I feel like we should end our series with a bang. And I'm gonna try to make it through without weeping, but I've been weeping all morning. I wanna ask you to stay where you are. If you're on your knees, stay on your knees. If you're on your face, stay on your face. Wherever you're at, we want to keep a posture of worship. I keep having this memory come to my mind. Of me in the secret place with Jesus. Desperate for change. Hungry for something new. Thirsty for his presence. Wondering when I'll stop. Struggling and getting tired. A beautiful friend of mine, Carmen, walked me through some healing. And as we stood in my secret place, which was an open field that had a giant wall in it, Jesus took me to the wall. And he told me it was something I had built for myself. And it was full of lies. Every brick was made of something that I was not. And he said, in order to build a house for me, we have to tear this down. And he put a sledgehammer in my hand and told me, but you have to surrender. You've been holding on to all this stuff, and this is not who I am. And together we tore down a wall. And then brick by brick, he laid golden stones at my feet of who I really was. The name that he had for me. And when we were done, he looked at me and said, this is the foundation of the house I want to build. And whenever you forget who you are, you come back to this house. And you look at these stones and you remember, this house is a house for me. As I've prepared for this message, I'm so sorry, I'm going to cry this whole time. But Jesus is here. He's always here, but he's really just, it's thick today. God kept bringing me to 2 Chronicles. It's the weirdest book to go to. And he kept pointing out the scripture that Lydia mentioned last week. If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sins and heal their land. And I didn't understand what that had to do with hunger and thirst. I was really confused. I was like, God, this is more about repentance. And as he usually does, he says, get the context, Gabe, go back. So I went way back and started in 2 Chronicles chapter 5 and started reading through 5, 6, and 7. And these chapters are about the building and the dedication of the temple by Solomon. I just have to say real quick, I did not tell the worship team what I was speaking about today. Not even my husband before they planned these songs. So God is all about sacrifice and surrender today. I watched or I read as Solomon gathered materials for the temple, the best of the best, only the finest for God's house. Cedar trees and gold and silk, the finest metals, the finest woods. He spent an entire year building the temple and doing it right. And when the year had come, he took all of the priests and the entirety of Israel to the temple to dedicate the temple to God. And when you open up chapter 6, you see Solomon standing before an altar that he had built. with his hands outstretched to the heavens, and he declares and prays to God. The entire message behind this prayer is, God, fill this place. Let this be where you rest for eternity. He says, God, I know that you are so big, nothing can contain you. But my desire, the one thing that I seek, is that you would dwell here forever. God, you are so big and you are so great, but I'm hungry for you to rest in this place. And then he goes, Father, forgive us. Forgive us of our sins. If we make a mistake, correct us. If a brother makes a deal with another brother and it is not kept, forgive it. Make it right. Show us where we've gone wrong. He says, God, correct our hearts. Fix it so that we can focus on you, so that you and your glory would dwell here. He says, God, let all of Israel come to sacrifice and surrender to you. And when they leave, they would know you are the one true God. But he doesn't stop there. He says, Father, let the nations come to this place and be drawn by its beauty, but leave knowing there is no other God but you. Fill this place. Rest here. I want this to be where you rest. Dwell here. An entire chapter of Solomon pleading with God to make it his home. It's beautiful. You can see the hunger and the thirst Solomon had for the presence of God to be in that place. He begs God to heal the land, to heal the people, to turn their hearts. And then chapter 7 opens up and it says, and when Solomon was done praying, fire fell from heaven and consumed the altar. And the presence of God rushed into the temple. It was so thick and heavy that not even the priests could stay in the room. It says, as people saw the fire falling from heaven, whether in the temple or out, they fell on their face from the presence of God in reverence. And it says, Solomon began to sacrifice 22,000 oxen and 120,000 lambs. I did not say 22. I said 22,000 oxen. If you dig into what it takes for a burnt offering, there is a ritual that must be done. Not only must they bring all of these thousands and thousands and thousands of animals to the temple, but then each one must be inspected by the priest to make sure that it is the perfect, spotless sacrifice, without blemish. After the inspection, each one must be laid a certain way on the altar and drained of its blood before it can be burnt. Can you imagine how long they stayed there? The Bible tells us no one left. Solomon stood by the altar as 22,000 oxen were inspected and slain and burned, and 120,000 lambs. The length of time it took to sacrifice, but Solomon didn't care. He was hungry. He was thirsty. And then it says, after the sacrificing, he began the dedication, and they feasted and they praised and they worshiped and they prayed for 7 days. And on the 8th day, they got up and they did it all over again. It says on the 23rd day of the 7th month, so for 7 months and 23 days, they dedicated the temple. getting up and feasting and praising and sacrificing and worshiping and fellowshipping in community, and then going back to sleep, and on the eighth day doing it all over again. Some of us can't stand for one song. Some of us can't pray for more than 5 minutes. Talk about repetition. Some of us can't stand that we repeat the same lines over and over, yet he stood there repetitively as they sacrificed 22,000 oxen and 120,000 sheep. And then on the 23rd day of the seventh month, it says, then God appeared to Solomon in the night and said to him, I have heard your prayer, and I have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. When I shut up the heavens so there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sins and heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayer that is prayed in this place. For now I have chosen and consecrated this house that my name will be there forever. My eyes and my heart will be in and on this place for all time. How beautiful. He continues to tell Solomon, I will establish your throne as I did your father's. I will not let you go without. You will sit at my side for eternity. He honored the hunger and the thirst. And many of us can look at this and get confused. We can think that this is talking about this temple, this house of God. Don't be mistaken. The father of this house, Pastor Bill and Pastor Kim, have dedicated this house. They are hungry and they are thirsty. They have cried out every day for you, for repentance, for God's presence, for healing of this land, not just Port Huron, but Michigan and the United States. They have dedicated this house. That's not where the comparison comes in. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 through 20 says, do you not know? You are the temple for Holy Spirit who is within you, who comes from God. Your body is not your own. You were bought with a great price. So glorify God in your body. Do you not know you are the temple? Not this house, you. Not your neighbor, you. God's presence is here because you are the temple. Your body was bought with a great price. Just as Solomon sacrificed and spared no expense for the temple, Jesus spared no expense for you. And he wants to establish his throne in you. What would it look like if we were as hungry as Solomon? What would it look like if every day we got up and we dedicated our temple? What if we made our life the altar and we lived on it? What would happen if every day we got up and we sacrificed our hopes, our dreams, our desires, our families, our jobs as a burnt offering with a sweet smell to Jesus? What would happen if we got up and said, my day is not mine, it's yours. Here's the altar. My life is not mine, it's yours. This is the temple. What if we were so hungry that we begged God, God, make me your resting place. Dwell in me. Live in me. God, draw Port Huron to me. Let them come, and when they leave me, they know there is only one God. God, draw the nations to me. That when they see me, because I'm on fire and I'm burning for you, that they leave changed. Let there be no doubt, whoever crosses my path, that I am the temple paid with a price. What if we cried out for our nation's repentance every day? What if we cried out, God, when we get it wrong, make us right? When we take our eyes off you, fix it. When we make it about anything else, change us. What if we feasted on the word day and night? What if we dwelled in community with Holy Spirit and we went to bed, and when we got up, we did it all over again? This is a house of God, but you are the host of the presence. And when all the hosts of the presence come together, we feel what we feel because we've been in community with God all week, or we should be. But when we don't dedicate our own temple, when we don't dedicate our own body, when our life is not an altar, when we get here, we could change the atmosphere. Because it's about what's our agenda is, what's on our altar. Some of us get lazy with it. We don't want to sacrifice 120,000 sheep and 22,000 oxen. It's tiring. It's the same thing. It feels mundane. And so we don't do it right. We're just like, throw it on their sacrifice. Throw it on their sacrifice. Let's go. I got a game to watch. My stomach's growling. Got work to do. Children to feed. And we haven't brought Jesus into our lives, but we've made him this separate place we go on Sunday and Wednesday. But you are the temple. You are the temple. And God honors hunger and thirst. Many of us have sought God's presence, and I want you to hear me here. We've sought his presence and his desire to dwell in our lives and for us to be his resting place, and not for him, but for the signs and the wonders. And there is nothing wrong with signs and wonders. I believe in them. They exist. Miracles happen today. God is faithful and he is true, but we don't need him for the signs and the wonders. We've come expecting God to consume the altar with fire from heaven. We come looking for the glory cloud. We come looking to be swept off our feet. And because we have our agenda on the altar, we don't see the signs and wonders because we want to see what we want to see. And we walk away going, will God ever do this for me? And God's going, I've been doing it for you, but you're not giving up your own agenda. You don't want me for me. You want me for what I can give you, and I'm not your sugar daddy. I didn't give my son and give up my life and die for you and shed my blood and my body for you to have your own body with your own way and your own will. I gave my body for your body, my blood for your blood. That is sacrifice. I died for you, and all I ask in return is you return the sacrifice. Want me for me. Want my body. Want my blood. Fall in step with me. I'm not a sugar daddy, but I'm a good, good father. Hunger me, thirst for me, and I will fill the hunger. Then I will appear to you and say, I've heard your prayer, and I have chosen you for myself as a house of sacrifice. When I shut up the heavens and you're experiencing drought in your finances and your relationships, when the locusts come and devour everything you have, when the pestilence, the gnats, those flies, those stupid fruit flies that are everywhere right now come, and they're annoying you, if you humble yourself before me, if you pray, if you seek my face, not my hands, not my signs, not my wonders, my face, if you turn around and stop going in the direction you've been going, if you focus your eyes on me, then I will hear from heaven. I will heal you. I will forgive you. Now my eyes are open and my ears are attentive to any word you pray. I've chosen you. I've consecrated you. That means I set you apart. I've set you up that my name will be branded on you forever. My eyes and my heart are on you and in you for all time. I will establish your throne. You will be sitting next to me for eternity as rulers and royal priests. He honors your hunger and thirst. And there's some of you out there who have been tired. You're standing in the same place I was a couple years ago going, God, I want something different. God, I've been faithful. I've been faithful and I've been true and I have hungered and I have thirsted and I'm tired of being tired and I'm tired of being sick and I'm tired of being angry. And you're coming with your agenda on the altar. You're coming with the wall you've built in your secret place. And Jesus is saying, I need you to surrender. I need you to sacrifice. I need you to knock this down and let me build the foundation for the house that I want to dwell in you. But guess what that takes? Getting uncomfortable. We want to be comfortable in our praise. We want to be comfortable in our prayer. We want to be comfortable in our talks with God. We don't want to be uncomfy. It's like waking up in the middle of the night when it's freezing cold having to pee. Anybody ever tried to hold your pee for 5 hours? Whether you like it or not, you get out of bed and you pee. But in your spiritual life, you've laid in bed and peed yourself. All because you don't want to get uncomfortable so God can make room in your home. It takes getting uncomfortable. It takes those things you built for yourself that you believed, those lies the enemy convinced you and were real. And some of them sound good. Some of them sound decent. You want to get rid of the bad ones, but those ones you think really are you, God's going, no, knock it down. Lay it on the altar. I want to burn it. I don't want you to look anything like you. I want you to give me your body and I want you to stand in mine. I want you to drain your blood, and I want to give you mine. The beauty of having Christ's body and Christ's blood is he's perfect. It changes our mind. And now, when it feels uncomfy, or we don't know that song, or we're not quite sure what to do, or we're worried about the person singing badly behind us, or we're worried we're the one singing badly behind someone else. We're worried about what it's going to look like if we jump, if we kick, if we shout. That's gone because we have a new mind. We've sacrificed it. We laid it on the altar and it's not about anybody else because I am the temple and it's you. It's just you, Jesus. Only you, Jesus. Always you, Jesus. I love you, not my life. I love you, not my husband. I love you, not my child. I love you, not my sight. I love you, not my body. I love you, not my family. I love you, not my job. I love you, not my money. It's just you. I just love you. Just you. And I'll stand here as I sacrifice every day, everything. Can you imagine the talk of the town as Solomon paraded those animals to the temple? The the poverty mindset there must have been. That could have been our food. What will be left for us? What will we sell for money? But Solomon said, I don't care. I just want God to live here. I want to be able to see him and experience him. Oh, and when he flooded the place, no one could stay standing. They had to get on their face. They had to get on their face. And I can imagine the weeping and the crying out because God's presence was so thick, so tangible. And that's my heart. I want to be a resting place. I want to be a resting place. I want to be on fire. I want to bring other sticks that are dry here to get on fire. I want to burn intently and passionately that nothing is left. I don't want you to recognize me. I want you to come to me and go, I see Jesus. I see Jesus. What do you have? I need it. I see Jesus. I hope you never leave an experience with me going, that was Gabrielle. I hope you leave going, Jesus. That was Jesus. Is that your hunger? Is that your thirst? Are you so desperate to be the resting place of Holy Spirit? Do you just love Jesus? That's what this song we're singing is. It's surrender. It's an act of surrender. It's giving up everything and saying, just you, only you, you're everything. That's it. That's all there is. Do you know Jesus? Have you experienced that freedom Stefan talked about? Have you experienced that love Jasmine was talking about? Did you know you were bought with a price? I want to take communion. But before I do that, I want to ask if there is anybody in here who did not know they were a temple. Is there anyone in here who did not know that Jesus died for you? Or maybe you did, but you've just not taken that step yet. You've not taken that leap of faith. If you haven't, I just want to pray with you. And because I cannot see to know if you raised your hand, I'm just going to ask that everyone say a prayer with me. Can we do that? It's really simple. Say, Father God, I recognize the sacrifice you made for me. Thank you for giving your only son to die for me. I accept your forgiveness of all my sins. Today I commit to turn from my ways and chase after you. I believe that Jesus is Lord and Christ and Savior. And today, I choose to do life with him. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, as we're getting our communion ready, I want to ask this. If you're hungry, if you're thirsty, if your heart was jiving with my heart today, and you feel what I'm talking about here, and you want to be hungry like Solomon, you want your temple to be consumed the way Solomon's temple was consumed. If you want Holy Spirit to be your resting place, if you're ready to make your life an altar and sacrifice, I want you to stand. I hope that's everybody in the room. I want you to listen very closely. What Pastor Kim and Lydia talked about, it's important. This house needs to be filled. You need this community. I need you. Did you know that? I need you. I'm just a little fingernail. I can't do it on my own. I need you, finger. I need you, foot. I need you, hand. I need you, nose and ears and toes and hair. Stop staying away from the body. When you are not here, I am missing vital organs. When you are not here, I am sick. Stop it. I love you, as Pastor Kim said, but stop it. This house needs to be filled because your house is the resting place. And you carry important things inside of you. You experience Holy Spirit differently than I do. I need that. I need to see him the way you see him. I need to know him the way you know him. Stop depriving me of your Holy Spirit. Be here. Sundays, Wednesdays, communities, circles, get it. Get in it. Stop depriving me, okay? But here's the next thing. You were paid for with a price. Your body is not your own, it's his. And he loves you. Glorify God in your body every day. Every day. We're gonna take the bread. Jesus, thank you. Thank you that you gave your body for mine. Thank you that I don't have to suffer because you gave it for me. You paid such a great price. And I love you. And I pray that as we take this signal, this significance of your body, God, that you would exchange my body for yours. Take the bread. Jesus, thank you for your body. Thank you that you are exchanging my body for yours. The blood. This blood is powerful. He shed it from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. This blood, it covered every sin, every stain. It took away all the shame. This blood healed your body. This blood did not just cover, but removed any sign of the enemy's damage in your life. This blood gave you authority. This blood gave you power. This blood established a throne in you for Jesus to rest so that now you rule and reign with him in heaven. The Bible tells us that God sits on his throne awaiting our words because we rule with him. This blood did that. Don't take it for granted. Jesus, thank you for your blood. Thank you for exchanging my blood for yours. Thank you for forgiving us, for healing us, and establishing us as rulers with you. Take the blood. Today, I'm going to say a prayer, and today, we are going to be different. Today, we are going to leave here forever changed. It's not your body. Say, this is not my body. It was paid for with a price. Glorify God in your body. With your words, with your actions. Glorify Him with your relationships, with what you watch, with what you listen to. But don't just stop there. Glorify Him by when you sacrifice those things, consume the word. Remember, Solomon didn't just sacrifice, but he feasted and fellowshipped. You can't just sacrifice. Now you have to have relationship. I want us to go back into this song. And this is what I feel like Holy Spirit is saying. And you may say, well, they say this a whole lot. Get used to it. Because that means that someone hasn't gotten it yet. When we sing this, get uncomfortable. If you need to get on your knees, get on your knees. If you need to dance, slow dance with Jesus, slow dance with Jesus. If you need to lay on your face, if you need to jump up and down, whatever it is, He is worth what you give Him. So what you give Him is what you say He's worth. And He is worth more than we could ever give. But if you are hungry, if you are thirsty, if you want God to heal this land, if you want to be consumed, if you want to dedicate your temple, it starts right now. Not tomorrow, not the next day. Don't be that person. I'm this way. I've gotten better at it, but I'll exercise tomorrow. I'll start it tomorrow. As I eat the donut on my diet starts tomorrow. No. Today, it starts today. It starts right now with these words, with this song, with your actions. It starts here. We just love you. I want you to open your hands. We're surrendering, so it's got to be like this. Father, we surrender everything to you. God, I ask that you would make our lives an altar. God, I want to be the sacrifice. So God, I pray that you would come right now and remove everything that is Gabrielle. Remove everything that is who we are and burn it. Father, I pray that you would burn it to a crisp. Let there be nothing but ashes left. God, I pray that you would just come and help us to surrender everything. God, this temple is yours. This body is yours. It was bought with a price, and I recognize that. And so, Father, I give it to you. And whatever you want me to do, I will do it. Every step from here on out is an altar. Every word is an altar. It is a place for you to burn, Jesus. And as you come and you consume these bodies, as you come and consume these houses, Father, I pray that fire from heaven would fall on every head. Right now, Jesus. Okay, ooh, there is Holy Spirit right there. Yeah, Jesus, right now, someone is receiving their prayer language right now. Oh, Holy Spirit said He's coming in. Don't stop it. Holy Spirit, right now, fall like fire from heaven. Consume our lives. Draw people to you. Father, we pray that you would draw the nations. Draw the nations to us, Jesus. Let them leave experiencing you. Let them know there is one true God, and His name is Jehovah, Yahweh. We give you the glory. Fill our bodies. Let nothing that is from the enemy be able to stay. We fall on our faces and we repent. Father, we repent for getting it wrong. We repent for getting it wrong. It's about you. It's only about you. We turn from our ways. We lay our lives down. And we decide from this day to be forever changed. as your hunger and your thirst grows in us, let your presence grow too. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.